This week's newsletter describes how the selfish mining danger threshold can be calculated. Its summarize is an idea about preventing filtering of high fee rate transactions. It also seeks feedback about a proposed change to BIP 390 MUSIG descriptors and announces a new library for encrypting descriptors. Also included are our regular sections with the summary of a Bitcoin Core PR Review Club, announcements of new releases and release candidates, and descriptions of recent changes to popular Bitcoin infrastructure projects news. First, calculating the selfish mining danger threshold. Antoine Poinsot posted to Delving Bitcoin an expansion of the math from the 2013 paper that gave the selfish mining attack its name, although the attack was previously described in 2010. He also provided a simplified mining and block relay simulator that allows experimenting with the attack. He focuses on reproducing one of the conclusions of the 2013 paper, that a dishonest miner or a cartel of well-connected miners controlling 33% of the total network hash rate with no additional advantages can become marginally more profitable on a long-term basis than the miners controlling 67% of the hash rate. This is achieved by the 33% miner selectively delaying the announcement of some of the new blocks it finds. As the dishonest miner's hash rate increases above 33%, it becomes even more profitable until it exceeds 50% hash rate and can prevent its competitors from keeping any new blocks on the best blockchain. We did not carefully review Poinsot's post, but his approach appeared sound to us, and we would recommend it to anyone interested in validating the math or gaining a better understanding of it. Relay censorship, resistance through top mempool, set reconciliation. Peter Todd posted to the Bitcoin Dev mailing list about a mechanism. This mechanism would allow nodes to drop peers that are filtering high fee rate transactions. The mechanism depends on cluster mempool and a set reconciliation mechanism. This is similar to that used by Erlay. A node would use cluster mempool to calculate its most profitable set of unconfirmed transactions. These transactions could fit within, for example, 8 million weight units, that is a maximum of 8 megabytes. Each of the node's peers would also calculate their top 8 MWU of unconfirmed transactions. Using a highly efficient algorithm, such as Minisketch, the node would reconcile its set of transactions with each of its peers. In doing so, it would learn exactly what transactions each peer has in the top of its mempool. Then the node would periodically drop the connection to whichever peer had the least profitable mempool on average. By dropping the least profitable connections, the node would eventually find peers that were least likely to filter out high fee rate transactions. Todd mentioned that he hopes to work on an implementation after cluster mempool support is merged into Bitcoin Core. He credited the idea to Gregory Maxwell and others. Optek first mentioned the underlying idea in newsletter number 9. First, updating BIP 390 to allow duplicate participant keys in MUSIG expressions. Ova Chow posted to the Bitcoin Dev mailing list to ask if anyone objected to updating BIP 390 to allow MUSIG expressions in output script descriptors to contain the same participant public key more than once. This would simplify implementation and is explicitly allowed by the BIP 327 specification of MUSIG 2. As of this writing, no one has objected, and Chow has opened a pull request to change the BIP 390 specification. Descriptor encryption library. Josh DeMann posted to Delving Bitcoin to announce a library he has built. This library encrypts the sensitive parts of an output script descriptor, or miniscript, to the public keys contained within it. He describes what information is needed to decrypt it. First, if your wallet requires 2 of 3 keys to spend, it will require exactly 2 of 3 keys to decrypt. Second, if your wallet uses a complex miniscript policy, like either 2 keys or a time lock and another key, encryption follows the same structure. It's as if all time locks and hash locks are satisfied. This differs from the encrypted descriptor backup scheme discussed in newsletter 351, in which knowledge of any public key contained within the descriptor allows decryption of the descriptor. DeMann argues that his scheme provides better privacy for cases where the encrypted descriptor is being backed up to a public or semi-public source, such as a blockchain. Bitcoin Core PR Review Club. In this monthly section, we summarize a recent Bitcoin Core PR Review Club meeting, highlighting some of the important questions and answers. Click on a question below to see a summary of the answer from the meeting. Separate UXO set access from validation functions is a pull request, or PR, by the charlatan. This PR allows calling validation functions by passing just the required UXOs, instead of requiring the complete UXO set. It is part of the Bitcoin Kernel project, and is an important step to make the library more usable for full node implementations that do not implement a UXO set. Examples of these nodes include UT, RIXO, or Swift Sync nodes, as discussed in newsletter number 349. In the first four commits, this PR reduces coupling between transaction validation functions and the UXO set. It does this by requiring the caller to first fetch the coins, or CTX outs they require, and then passing those to the validation function. This prevents the validation function from accessing the UXO set directly. In subsequent commits, the dependency of connect block on the UXO set is removed entirely. This is done by carving out the remaining logic that requires UXO set interaction into a separate spend block method. First, why is carving out the new spend block function from connect block helpful for this pull request? How would you compare the purpose of the two functions? The connect block function originally performed both block validation and UXO set modifications. This refactor splits these responsibilities. Connect block is now only responsible for validation logic that doesn't require the UXO set. The new spend block function handles all UXO set interactions. This allows a caller to use connect block to do block validation without a UXO set. Second, do you see another benefit of this decoupling, besides allowing kernel usage without a UXO set? Besides enabling kernel usage for projects without a UXO set, this decoupling makes the code easier to test in isolation and simpler to maintain. One reviewer also notes that removing the need for UXO set access opens the door for validating blocks in parallel, which is an important feature of Swift Sync. First, spend block takes a C block, C block index pindex and uint2 150 6 block hash parameter. All of these reference the block being spent. Why do we need three parameters to do that? Validation code is performance critical. It affects important parameters such as block propagation speed. Calculating the block hash from a C block or C block index is not free, because the value is not cached. For that reason, the author decided to prioritize performance by passing an already calculated block hash as a separate parameter. Similarly, the pindex could be fetched from the block index, but this would involve an additional map lookup that is not strictly necessary. Note, the author later changed the approach, removing the block hash performance optimization. The first commits in this pull request refactor, Ccoins, view cache out of the function signature of a couple of validation functions. Does Ccoins view cache hold the entire UXO set? Why is that not a problem? Does this pull request change that behavior? Ccoins view cache does not hold the entire UXO set. It is an in-memory cache that sits in front of Ccoins viewDB, which stores the full UXO set on disk. If a requested coin is not in the cache, it must be fetched from disk. This pull request does not change this caching behavior itself. By removing Ccoins view cache from function signatures, it makes the UXO dependency explicit, requiring the caller to fetch coins before calling the validation function. Releases and release candidates. New releases and release candidates for popular Bitcoin infrastructure projects. Please consider upgrading to new releases or helping to test release candidates. Core Lightning 25.05 release candidate. One is a release candidate for the next major version of this popular Lightning Network node implementation. LND 0.19. One beta is a release of a maintenance version of this popular Lightning Network node implementation. It contains multiple bug fixes, notable code and documentation changes. Notable recent changes in Bitcoin Core, Core Lightning, Eclair, LDK, LND, Libsect 2, 150, 6K1, Hardware Wallet Interface, HWI, Rust Bitcoin, BTC Pay Server, BDK, Bitcoin Improvement Proposals, BIPs, Lightning Bolts, Lightning Blips, Bitcoin Inquisition, and Binonis. Bitcoin Core issue number 32,406 uncaps the OP return output size limit, a standardness rule, by raising the default data carrier size setting from 80.32 100 1,000 bytes, which is the maximum transaction size limit. The data courier and data courier size options remain, but are marked as deprecated and are expected to be removed in an undetermined future release. Additionally, this PR also lifts the one per transaction policy restriction for OP return outputs, and the size limit is now allocated across all such outputs in a transaction. See newsletter 350.2 for additional context on this change. LDK 3790.3 adds a new start batch message that signals peers to treat the next n batch size messages as a single logical unit. It also updates peer manager to rely on this for commitment signed messages during splicing, rather than adding a TLV and a batch size field to each message in the batch. This is an attempt to allow additional LN protocol messages to be batched rather than only commitment signed messages, which is the only batching defined in the LN specification. LDK 3790.2 introduces initial support for V3 commitment transactions, see newsletter 325, that rely on truck transactions and ephemeral anchors behind a test flag. A node now rejects any open channel proposal that sets a non-zero fee rate, ensures that it never initiates such channels itself, and stops automatically accepting V3 channels to first reserve a UTXO. For later fee bumping, the PR also lowers the per-channel HTLC limit from 483 to 114 because truck transactions must remain under 10 kVB. LND 9127 adds a blinded path incoming channel list option to the LNCLI add invoice command, allowing a recipient to embed one or more, for multiple hops, preferred channel ID for the payer to attempt to forward through on a blinded path. LND 9858 begins signaling the production feature bit 60, one for the RBF cooperative close flow, see newsletter 347, to properly enable interoperability with Eclair. It retains the staging bit 160, one to maintain interoperability with nodes testing the feature. Asterisk bolt number 12.4-3 updates the bolt 11 specification to indicate that a reader, that's the sender, must not pay an invoice if a mandatory field, such as P, that's payment hash, H, that's description hash, or S, that's secret, has an incorrect length. Previously, nodes could ignore this issue. This pull request also adds a note to the examples section explaining that low R signatures, even if they save one byte of space, are not enforced in the specification. Want more? For more discussion about the topics mentioned in this newsletter, join us for the weekly Bitcoin Optech recap on riverside.fm at 16:30 UTC on June 17th. The discussion is also recorded and will be available from our podcast's page.